Open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to just look at these three words here. Look at verse 21. Notice what it says. Prove all things. Let's say it together. Ready? Begin. Prove all things. I want to encourage you this morning to be people of the book. And not only be people of the book, but be people of the book with purpose. In the midpoint of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we find Paul giving the Thessalonians final instructions, and he has about 20 admonitions that he gives closing the book or the first letter to the Thessalonians. From verses 12 to 13, we see the responsibility of the saints toward their leaders. Have a look. He says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." In verse 14, we see Paul encourage the church with specific instruction to certain groups of people. Notice what he says. He says this, "Warn the unruly." He says, "Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak," and number four covers all men, "Be patient toward all men." From verses 15 to 22, he continues to detail certain instructions to the church, concluding the letter. He says this in verse 15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but every follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." He says in verse 16, "Rejoice evermore." I understand this, if the devil has one thing that he wants to do is he wants to discourage you from the joy that you have in the Lord. Saints of God, don't let him. He says, number 17, "Pray without ceasing. Develop an attitude of prayer where you're depending upon God for every circumstance. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." Cultivating a spirit of attitude, a gratitude, amen, that will help you grow to be content. And the Bible says godly contentment is what? Great gain. And he says, "Quench not the Spirit." What's that mean? Don't limit the work of God in your life. If there's anything that quenches the Spirit of God from working in our lives, it is doubting God and His Word. Let me just say this to you. Don't quench the Spirit by doubting God's work, but rather walk in faith. And then he says, "Despise not prophesying." Look, listen, never ever get sick of the preaching of the Word of God. Never ever despise prophesying or preaching or forth-telling. Do not undermine the very thing that God uses to confound the wise. 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. The subject of proving all things, I'd like to cover four things. First of all, I want to cover the instruction given to prove, and then the instrument for proving, the scriptures, and the illustrations outlined, all things. He says, prove all things, and then the individual's responsibility, our personal instruction. So the first, let's have a look. He says, prove all things. Now, if you look out throughout scripture, you'll notice that the Bible exhorts God's people to be people of discernment. So in other words, God doesn't want his people to be gullible, naive, simple. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs was written for that specific purpose. I love the book of Proverbs. If you turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 1, I want you to see something there very clearly. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verses 1 to 5. The very reason why God gave Solomon his wisdom to pass down to his son is that Solomon and his son and we today will not be people that are gullible, naive, simple, but rather people that would be endued, listen, with God's wisdom. That's what God wants for every single person in this room. Look at verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Why are they written? Number one, to know, wisdom and instruction. Number two, to perceive the words of understanding, to understand these instructions and wisdom that God gives to us. Number three, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and also judgment and equity. Number four, to give subtlety, discernment to who? The simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, throughout the book of Proverbs, we are giving a similar instruction to what Paul gives to the Thessalonians in proving all things. Let me give you a couple of examples. Number one, we are exhorted to consider our ways. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, notice what he says. Ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder the path. Why? Well, the second half of that verse says, because God desires all our ways to be what? Established. The reason why we ponder our path, we take care of every step we take, is so that God will establish our way. Making a move without having the Word of God ponder our paths can be dangerous. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Ponder the path of thy feet. Psalm 119, look at this, 133. Order my steps. How? In thy word, and let not any iniquity have a dominion over me. Taking steps without acknowledging the word of God or consulting the Lord in all your ways. Not having the Lord to order our step is hazardous. We'll be more prone to stumble. Proverbs 4:11. Look at this. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Solomon speaking to his son. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not what? Stumble. Stumble. Number two, we're encouraged to make decisions based upon what? Facts and not feelings. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a what? Is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. One of the greatest dangers is to make decisions based upon feelings and our own perception. Being wise in our own conceits. Making decisions based upon emotions. Not wise. Isaiah says this, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. May God help us and deliver us from such a condition. We are taught, number three, not to be naive or gullible. Notice what the Proverb writer says, Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but look at this. But the prudent man looketh well to his what? Goings. Someone once said this, indeed, the naive tend to believe everything they hear and read. Rather, a prudent person will take time to think through a matter. May God help us to be people that are endued with wisdom to prove and test and examine. God is simply saying that we want to be people of discernment. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer says the same thing. He strengthens this point. Have a look at Hebrews 5, verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But look at this, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, and those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to, look at this, discern both what? Good and evil. Discernment. They're skillful in the word. They're under understand the heart and the mind of God, and they rightly divide God's word. They're skillful to understand what's good, what's bad. And God wants us to be mature Christians that have discernment, you know, and understand the heart of God in every matter. Prove all things. I believe the Apostle Paul was basically encouraging the church to be people that would examine, try, and put to the test every matter, everything regarding their Christian life. That's what he says. The word prove means to test or try to examine, put to the test. And when you prove something, you're testing it, listen, to see if it passes the test, to see if it actually meets God's standards. That's why you put it to the test. And proving all things takes time, takes diligence. It takes discipline. But listen, at the end of all, it's worth it. It's worth it. Some things take longer than others. Some things are just no-brainer. You just go to the book and it's there. No-brainer. Other things, it's just, man, I've got to pray, fast. Whatever it is, there are times that we have to prove and keep proving until we're satisfied and convinced from God and from His Word. And this is the whole point of testing that very thing to see if it passes the test. Lord, in every area, we're going to look at some illustrations and subjects later, but Paul says to Timothy, what he says to him? Timothy, study. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Warren Reasby said the word study has nothing to do with books and teachers. Has nothing to do with that. I agree with him. It means to be diligent, to be zealous. The emphasis in this paragraph, he says, is that the workman needs to be diligent in his labors so that he will not be ashamed when his work is inspected. Many of you know about the inspection. Amen. When the inspector comes and he inspects the property to see you people that are in construction, to see if you have done things acceptable to the laws and regulation of the land. They inspect to see, and if it's not good, you've got to go and rip it down, do it all over again. Yeah. Inspect takes time, doesn't it? It takes time, study, is discipline. Albert Barn once said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed is a man faithfully performing his duty so that when he looks over what he's done, he may not blush. We, by the way, brethren, let me just say this. We have a great inspector and he's in heaven. And one day, he's going to come and he's going to inspect everything that we've done. That's what the Bible says. He's going to try our work to see, listen, what sort it is. I mean, in one sense, it's encouraging, but in another sense, it's a fearful thing. That alone ought to have, you know what, disposition? I need to prove all things. I need to be hearkening to this. Prove, study, discipline, all things, every area of my life. Every area. From theology, doctrine, to practice. Everything. Everything must be examined or proved and put to the test to see if it meets, listen, God's standards. Now, notice what he says to Timothy toward the end of that verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, listen, the word of truth. We come to the instrument. Amen. How do we prove all things? How do we examine and try and put things to the test? By this book. By this book. This is the word of truth. This here is the word of truth. And if you go down to 1 Thessalonians 5:27, Paul continues to say to the Thessalonians, notice what he says. He says, I charge you, why? By the Lord, that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. I charge you by the authority of the Lord, by the Lord, that this epistle to the Thessalonians be dispersed to all the holy brethren. You know what Paul wanted? He wanted the word of God to be dispersed in the hands of the people of God. You say, what is it? This book here. No, listen, we don't only have 1 Thessalonians. We have more brethren. I mean, we have treasures here, beautiful treasures and nuggets and wonderful things that reveal the character of God and teach us wonderful things about our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much. We don't just have one letter. We have many letters. We have books of the Bible that no doubt can be used to test a lot of things. Can. It's the Word of God. As a matter of fact, he says to Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. This is God's breath. This is the only book that is inspired and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In righteousness. This book, all Scripture, is given by God. By God. Remember, we saw this, that the holy oracles passed down to the disciples was given to our Lord Jesus Christ from the Heavenly Father. This is what we have. God breathed. This is God's word. This is God's book. This is the book of books, brethren. And God's word is the final authority for our faith and practice. Get it. Edge it in our heart. Right here, right now. God's word is the final authority for our faith and practice. Nothing more, nothing less. It's God's word, and this is our foundation. Now, in Acts chapter 17, we actually see a perfect example, this proving all things lived out. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. A perfect example of living out this instruction before our very eyes. Have a look at Acts chapter 17. Beautiful example. Look at verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, his custom, what was his custom? What was his manner? I want you to see this very carefully. He went into them and three Sabbath day reasoned with them out of the what? The Scriptures. He reasoned with them. That means to thoroughly reason with, to discuss, listen, to dispute. Paul did the same thing in Athens. If you drop it down to verse 16, have a look at verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. And when he saw the city wholly given in idolatry, look at this, verse 17. Therefore, what did he do? Disputed, same word as reasoned with. Disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons. And in the market daily with them that met with him. Anyone that met with Paul, he would be willing to reason with them, to dispute with them. And the Bible says that was his manner. That was his custom. And I think that's a beautiful custom, don't you think? I really do. I really believe that if you hold this Bible in your hand and you reason with people, even on the streets, it's a beautiful thing when you go out soul winning and you see people talking to people from this book. It's a beautiful thing. You see him pointing. Hey, what about this verse? It's wonderful. It's a tremendous thing to be, you know, getting into a habit, you know, and this is why we need to study and know our Bible. We need to know the scriptures so we can go and be learned and understand. Here's a scripture. There's a scripture. This is what God's word says. We take people back to scripture and we allow them to see what the word of God says. This is why we call ourselves Bible believing Christians, because we point people back to the scriptures so they can see what the Bible says. I think there's great strength. This is why we have some of the verses here. When people actually see it for themselves. Now, it will be a good custom for you to get yourself a Bible if you don't have one. And start, you know, getting into the scriptures. Start looking into the scriptures and hearing and understanding and trying to understand what the preacher or the teacher is saying. It would be very good for you to be a student under the Word of God, to acknowledge the fact that, listen, the scriptures are given. I must listen and I must prove and I must understand what the teacher is saying or what the scriptures are saying. I think that's a wonderful thing to do. I really do. Now, it was a custom that Paul would simply go out and attempt to reason with these people. And to reason is to dispute with them, to set out, listen, to prove profound truth, listen, to expound the truth. That's what it means. How did he do this? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. He reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Out of the scriptures. In this case, Paul attempted to prove that Jesus was the Messiah who will come, suffer, die, and rise again. Have a look at verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you, look at this, is what? Christ. Is Christ, this Jesus that I preach unto you, he's the Messiah. He's going to suffer, he's going to die, and he's going to be raised from the dead. And the Bible says he was opening and alleging. This means to open thoroughly, to expound. And how did he do that? From the Old Testament prophets. And the Old Testament prophets prophesied about Jesus. It's all over the Old Testament. And it's very clear. He showed them, he would have been teaching them from the Old Testament, expounding, if you would. This means to unfold. Opening means to unfold. How do you do that? One scripture to another scripture to another scripture to another scripture to another scripture. That's how I like doing it. To another scripture, let God speak. Amen. Knowing the verses in the Bible, and this is why we need to know the scriptures. Amen. As teachers, we need to know the scriptures so we can take people to the scriptures. And so we can reason with them out of the scripture. And so we can understand what that verse says and say, listen, this coincides with this verse and this goes over here. And look at the picture here. Christ has come. This is a sign. A virgin shall conceive, and go through all the different things that the prophets have actually expressed. And this is what he's doing. Reasoning out of the scripture that this is the same Jesus that was born to suffer, to die, to be raised up. That's what he wanted to show them. Alleging, opening and alleging, to reveal, listen, to bring out this truth from Scripture. That's what opening means. Again, to reveal that which is concealed. I love it. To cause others to understand the truth from Scripture. That's what it means. Now, a similar thing took place with Philip. Remember Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch? He expounded on Isaiah 53. Amen. The Ethiopian eunuch came to him. With a question. Acts chapter 8 verse 30. And Philip ran hither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Notice what the eunuch said in verse 34. When he opened up the scriptures to Isaiah 53, that's what he was reading from. And the eunuch answered in Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet, the prophet this, of him or of some other man? Notice the answer. Notice very carefully, verse 35. Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What a beautiful response. When I was saved 17 years ago, I did not get myself in a Bible-believing church. I was actually 3 months trying to look for a Bible-believing church. I was confused. I didn't know anything about different denominations. All I knew was Catholic, Orthodox, and if you were outside of those two, you were Jehovah's Witness. That's my testimony. Didn't know about Baptists and Brethren and, you know, Calvary Chapel and Charismatics or Pentecost. Didn't know anything about that. And so I was so confused. So for about 3 months, I was in the Word of God, just looking at the Word of God, opening Scripture. It was just me and the Lord, and I was praying, and I had so much questions that needed to be answered. And so there, I remember this going to different people, and I sat down with this one pastor who was my pastor later on, and I had over 30 questions on a piece of paper emailed to him, and every question started with, according to the Bible, according to the Bible, according to the Bible. And I'm telling you, he did his best to answer his questions according to the Bible, and that's what I fell in love with as a newborn Christian. I fell in love with it. I really did. I fell in love with it. That's what attracted me to that church. That where there was a pastor that was willing to open up his Bible and answer from the scriptures, not from other books. Because at this time, I was very sensitive to the Catholic Church and their swaying manipulation upon me, referring me to the fathers, Augustine and all this. Yeah. Tradition. Who's the first church? The catechism. I said, hang on a minute. I've had enough with all these. Show me what the Bible says. Because I understood, even at a young age, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I understood that much. I understood that was the Word of God, and God's Word had answers. I didn't have to go to the forefathers or the I didn't have to go to history and all the. Are these history books okay? Well, they're fine. I'm not undermining history books, but what I'm trying to say is a newborn Christian that wanted answers. I wanted the scriptures. I wanted the Word of God to answer these questions. And I know that not every question can be answered. I wasn't being unreasonable, but I wanted truth. And over here, he opened the scriptures. I love how he did that with the Ethiopian eunuch to answer his question. And the Bible says that he preached Christ unto him. But notice if you go back to Acts 17, verse 3, it says opening, Paul says opening and alleging that Christ must suffer. What's alleging? It means to present or put forth. Paul was clearly able to expound the scriptures and commit the truth to them. He was able to convince them. He was able to put forth that truth in a very convincing way. There'll be no doubt. He was able to convince others out of the scriptures, whether they were open to it or closed to it, whether they were simply believe it or not believe. By the way, there's always different responses to the truth of God's word. Have a look at verses 5. Acts 17, look at verse 5. And some of them, what happened? Believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So he had people that believed and that were with Paul and Silas. Verse 5, but the Jews, which what? Believe not. So there's people that believe and there are people that don't believe. Moved with what? Envy. Took upon them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out of the people. And the reason why they went to the house of Jason, because Jason, one of the brethren there, was the very one that took in Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas flee because of persecution, and Jason cops it. But what a saint of God, amen, willing to suffer persecution for the truth. Now, all the hearers had to do at this point was just to search the truth and study the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. That's all they had to do. Well, what happened in Berea? The very thing happened in Berea. This is Thessalonica. They get pushed out from Thessalonica. They head to Berea. Persecution pushes them out. You had some people believe in Thessalonica. Other people reject Paul the Apostle. But now we're in Berea. Have a look at verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went to the synagogue of the Jews. Why? Because that's what was their custom. That was their manner, to go and reason with them out of the scriptures. Look at verse 11. Look at this. And these were what? More noble than those in Thessalonica. Did some of the Christians and believers in Thessalonica, people in Thessalonica believe? Yeah. But these were more noble. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were more noble, not only because they would believe the truth, but they will search it out to see if it was true. And they were commended for it. They were more noble, means in high in rank, commendable. They were honored because they took time to search the scriptures. Look at daily in this matter. They took time on a daily basis to search out and study to see if what Paul was speaking was true. Luke, the writer of Acts, inspired by God, makes it clear to us that these were more noble. God emphasized that. And he emphasized that for a reason. And you and I ought to be noble Bereans searching scripture to see even what I'm saying to you now, is it true? But can I just say this to you? Your average Christian does not. I'll tell you, listen to me, brethren, and I'm saying this. Your average Christian sits in the pew, goes home, does his daily planner, hurries through it because they're too busy because of work, and doesn't take time to study God's word. Maybe a sermon here and there, interruptions. But your average Christians do not study the scriptures. I'm telling you now. These were commended and honored, and God makes it available for us to see. Listen, these people would go back and search the scriptures daily. They would study to see if what they were hearing was true. And they were commended for it. They were proving all things by the best instrument that we have, the Word of God. I'm talking about the best instrument that we have. You may go to other resources, but this is the best resource. I said to Buddy the other day, I said, Buddy, if you were put in prison, persecuted for the faith, and they said to you, you can only have one book in prison, which book would you go for? Which book would you pick? I know what book I would pick, and I know what book you would pick. Yeah, the book of books. They searched the scriptures. They didn't search anything else but the scripture, the word of God, and they were commended for it. And they did it on a daily basis. When you study, I mean, it's one thing to read this book, beautiful to read it and learn, and so, but it just gets richer and richer when you study the word of God. Study words, passages, cross-reference. Listen, let me say this to you, Christian. Just because you're not a teacher or a preacher, the teacher and preacher that God has put Ephesians chapter 4 is to help you be students of the word. It's not to help you depend upon the teacher. It's help you to get in the Word of God and encourage you and teach you. And yes, you can learn from the teacher. But listen, you will not learn thoroughly if you don't have a Bible and listen intently, looking at Scripture, being convinced by the Word of God. This is how it needs to be done. This is how God wants us to do it. He doesn't want us just to believe, although that's good if it's true. I believed the gospel when it was preached to me. But my faith was strengthened when I began to study the Word of God and my pastor take me under his wing and disciple me and then understand why I believe what I believe. It was beautiful. I began to grow, and we ought to do that. Matthew Henry said we must cultivate what we hear and hold fast what is good, genuine and true. The standard by which we test all preaching and teaching is the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, Jesus actually challenged the religious rulers to search the scriptures. Did you know that? He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. You know why Jesus said to them to go search and study and diligent look into? Because if he knew that if they did that, guess what would happen? They will know the truth, and the truth will make him free. He knew he wasn't insecure. He knew that if they did their work and they were students of the word and the scriptures and they were searching and studying, he knew that they'll find the truth and they'll be set free. By the way, that's how my mum was set free. Took several months. Got her a Bible. I said, "Mum, start reading this book. And if I'm doing anything wrong, you tell me." She read the New Testament, reading. Eventually, over some months, she got saved. Searching the scriptures. Mate, this book, if you search it, it testifies of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, search the scriptures, look diligently, investigate, study. Number three, let's look at the subjects. Let's have a look at some things that we need to search. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. Proving all things must lead us to understand what the will of God is. That's eventually the goal. That's the result. Amen. What's the whole purpose of proving all things? To understand what God's will is in every area of our lives. And the Bible helps us to prove the will of God. Have a look at Ephesians 5:10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is where we must start, brethren. This is why we prove. What's acceptable to God. This is the great goal of proving. This is the pure motive in proving. This is the supreme intention for proving. In other words, we are proving all things that we might say some things like this. Okay, I'm proving this. Is this pleasing to God? I'm going to have a look. Is this acceptable to God? Is this biblically sound according to the Word of God? Is this the heart of God? Is this something that the Lord would have me to do? Is this somewhere that the Lord will have me to go? Testing every area of our lives to understand, is this acceptable to God? Is this the will of God? And brethren, to be doing that is a very hard task. Imagine testing every area of life, what you listen to, where you go, what your entertainment is, or you know, what you're reading and what you're watching. It takes a toll on you, but God wants us to do it. He wants us to be students to understand what His heart is in certain areas. Ephesians 5:17, look at this. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but what? But understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish, be wise. And understand. So when we prove all things from the Word of God, it's so we can understand what the will of God is. And I think that's very, very important. Number two, the Bible helps us prove false teachers and their teachings. 1 John 4, look at verse 1 and 2. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. This specific passage is calling Christians to prove the deity of Christ and not to undermine it. There are many people in that day who were undermining the deity of Christ, saying that Jesus or the Christ never came in the flesh. And they were undermining that. They were undermining the deity of Christ. And a lot of people, let me just say, sex, religion, so forth, there are a lot of groups that undermine the deity of Christ. Jehovah's Witness undermine the deity of Christ. Mormons undermine the deity of Christ. Muslims undermine the deity of Christ. They try to say that He is not God. Where He is God in the flesh. He manifested in the flesh. He dwelt amongst us. I heard a story of a Mormon approaching Warren Wiesbe, and this Mormon said, "Have you heard about our prophet?" Alluding to Joseph Smith. And he said, Warren Wiesbe said to him, "What does he prophesy? What's his prophet prophesy?" And he said, "If it's in the book, I don't need this. I don't need your prophet. If it's already in the book, I don't need a prophet. It's in the book. Amen. The Bible's already prophesied things. It's in the book. And unless he's confirming the prophecy, it's fine. But if it's trying to prophesy and undermine the book, forget it. If it's not in the book, he said, I don't need you. By the way, the book has been closed. Revelation. No more prophecy." It's done. It's finished. We've got the full canon of Scripture. We don't need any more prophets. And so false teachers that damn people to hell are those that undermine the deity of Christ. They undermine Jesus Christ. Brethren, I'll ask you a question. How do you test and try spirits, teachers, books, Christian material? How do you do that? How do you test any book? This book, for example, it's a devotional book. How do you test it? Maybe not for doctrine because it's devotional, but how do you test it to see that the application in this book derived from the verses are not exaggerated? Did you know preachers and teachers can exaggerate application? Yeah, so we just test it. Oh, that's a far stretch. Sometimes they do that so they can manipulate you to do what they want you to do. You test it. I'm able to sit there and say, oh, Pastor Charlie, I think that's a stretch. I won't be offended. Praise God if you do that. Praise God. I can sit there and by the way, you can still have grace and say, you know, he's not infallible, God is. He's not the Prince of Preachers, Jesus is. And praise God for that. Now, he's not deliberately trying to mislead us. But you can sit and say, you know what, I'm going to test, I'm going to see, I'm going to prove. And you know how you do that? The more that you're in the scripture, and the more that you study the word, guess what? When Pastor Charlie or any preacher comes to this pulpit, any pulpit, anything that you hear on the internet, you're able to hear. Well, that doesn't sound right. True. Sound doctrine. I'm going to double check that. Brethren, it's okay to do that. Amen. He says, try all spirits. Maybe people have been influenced by bad things out there in the world, and you carry that very thing and you preach it, but you don't even understand why you're preaching it or teaching it or teaching your children. And so you need to test it and try it. Amen. And you need to see, is it of the Lord or is it not of the Lord? I want you to do that, brethren. I want you to go back and search scripture. I want you to go and open up your Bible and see if what the preacher, any preacher preaches anything is not sound. You're able to say, hey, listen, what about this and what about that? No preacher ought to be insecure because you go up and approach him and say, what about this, what about that? You're learning, you're growing, you're a student. You cannot say lump it or leave it. No, you're a student that wants to grow and understand and learn. Why do I believe this and why do I believe that and all the rest of that? And I think it's very biblical to say the least. It's biblical. It's biblical. Now, it's amazing, John the Apostle affirms the deity of Christ to strengthen their faith by appointing them, again, to 1 John 5:7. He says this, for there are three that bear record in heaven. He says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, they three are one. You know why he said the Word and not the Son? Because you understand that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, the Word became flesh. You know what John was doing? Go back to my Gospel. Go back to the Gospel of John. Yeah, by this point, they would have had the Gospel of John. You understand that? And he's just confirming and reaffirming that these three are one and Jesus, the Word, is part of the Godhead. Praise God. What's he doing? Strengthening. These people coming in trying to, you know, just simply undermine. No, he comes in with Scripture and strengthens. What did the devil do when Jesus was in the wilderness? He tried to overthrow Jesus, right, by tempting him and using even scripture that was twisted. The devil loves using scripture out of context, you know that. But what does the student do? Going deep into the scriptures. So he's not fooled by the devil. He knows the word of God and understands, no, that verse doesn't mean that here. You've applied it wrong, devil. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is written. This is how Jesus overthrew the temptation of the devil to Jesus. He overthrew it by how? What did he do? It is written. And that's what John did. John overthrows these false teachers by taking them to scripture and elaborating on the deity of Christ. I think that's beautiful. Number three, the Bible helps us to prove even our own salvation. Paul the Apostle says this, examine yourselves, 2 Corinthians 13, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you except to be reprobates? He's saying, hey, you don't want to be rejected. You want to pass the test in this. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. Look, there are many Christians who doubt their salvation. They wrestle and wonder if I am saved. Listen, folks, you young people over here, understand the greatest assurance that we can get is from the book. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God is able to give you assurance by this book. I can't give you assurance. Parents can't give you assurance. God can. Get under the hearing of the word of God. Encourage yourself in the scriptures. It's a great danger to receive assurance from another man. Our assurance must come from the anchor of God's word. The word of God is like an under a mirror. Did you know that? It actually shows us where we're at. And then it can help us say, son, you're not where you're supposed to be. This is what you need to do. Examine yourselves. in the mirror of God's word. Look at the perfect law of liberty. And I guarantee you'll be liberated when you have faith in this book. Number four, the Bible helps us prove our works. Galatians 6 verse 3, if any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But look at this, but let every man, what's that word? Prove his own work. His own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself and not in another. This goes for the spiritual man. Any one of us is susceptible to being deceived. I mean, this is why it's imperative to evaluate our service and ministry by the word of God. Is our work acceptable unto the Lord? Listen, not unto men, but is our work acceptable unto the Lord? Does God see it? And he is giving that stamp of approval on it. God, I want you to prove my work. And God, through his word and by his spirit, does it. Albert Barnes said this regarding this verse. Let him compare himself with the word of God, the infallible rule which he has given and by which we are to be judged in the last day. It's true. This book here will help us understand if our work meets the standard of God and in that last day, will it pass the test? Number five, the Bible helps us, this is a big one, prove our hearts. The truth is only God can prove our hearts. You agree with that? It is God who uses the pure words of his word to test, prove, and examine our hearts. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The finding pot is for silver. The furnace is for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts. Proverbs 21, 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Hebrews 4, verse 1. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and he is a discerner, look at this, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is able to pierce through the flesh and bone and aiming straight to the heart of man, our motives. God, through his word, is the only one that can prove our sincerity by his word and by his spirit. Only God can do that. You know, only God can judge your motives. Only God can prove the sincerity of your heart. You and I may be sincere to people, but only God can really see, are you really sincere? True? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And at other times, let me say this to you, you may look insincere to people, but God knows you are. Only God can prove our hearts. Only God can prove our hearts. Brethren, this is why David went to God. In Psalm 26, verse 1, he says, judge me, O Lord. Judge me, for I have walked in my integrity. I'm talking about hearts. I'm not talking about action. Thank God for brethren that come and help us and judge us and say, hey, brother, you can do better here. We admonish you to do better here. Praise God for that. A rebuke here, a rebuke there. There's no problem with that. I'm talking about the motive, the heart. Only God can judge our hearts. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. What's integrity? That speaks of character. Upright, godly living. Number two, examine me, O Lord. Look at this. Examine me. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Try my heart, my desires, my inner affection. Everything about me. You, Lord, try me. You, Lord, examine me. You, Lord, judge me. Look at this, verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. Look at this. I have walked in thy truth. Only God can prove the sincerity of our heart. Brethren, it is the pure word of God that is able to prove if we have pure motives. The pure. Look at this. Psalm 12, look at verse 6. The word of the Lord are what? Pure words. Pure as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. This pure word of God is able to prove our hearts. That's why we need to be in the word. And we need to say, Lord, is what man saying true? Judge me, O Lord. Judge me. And it's a beautiful thing when you go back. You can win the opinion of others, but listen, even the opinion of others needs to be examined. Must be. Because they don't even know your heart. But you know your heart because God shows it to you. And you have to be real with him. And the way you're real with him is to say, Lord, you know I've been walking in your ways. Judge me, examine me, show me, and he will. And he'll show you and he'll reveal to you. You think God wants to deceive you, brethren? No. God, look at this. He says, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes. He loves you. He loves you to no end. He doesn't want to deceive you. And I want my true evaluation to come from heaven. Lord, I want to be evaluated by you. Is this true? Try my heart. And then, of course, lastly, we're done, the individual's responsibility. Look, every single one of us is responsible to be diligent Bible students, people of the book. There are reasons why the Lord wants us to prove all things. I want my son to grow up proving all things. I want my faith to be his faith. I want him to grow up asking me questions. Dad, why do we do this? Dad, why don't we have that? Dad, I want to show him, son, this is why. Not lump it or leave it. I'm your dad. You listen to me. No. I want my son's faith to be strengthened in the word of God. And I want to teach him to go down that way. It's my responsibility to teach him to go down that road. Why? Have a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, in the very God of peace, sanctify holy, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul and body. Look at this. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, God wants us at the end of the road. When the Lord comes back, we stand blameless before him. That's what matters. That's what matters. That when he comes, we're blameless before him. That's why we need to prove all things by his word. You think God's word will let you down? No. This is the anchor, like we said. This is the solid foundation that we can stand on. God desires us as Christians to stand blameless at his coming. Proving all things must be done, however, in a sincere manner. The Bereans were not just noble for searching the scriptures on a daily basis, but do you want to know why they were noble as well? Acts chapter 17, have a look. It says here, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in they received the word with what? All readiness of mind. What's that? They searched to submit. Wow. They weren't just searching. They were searching to know the truth, to live it out. That's why they wanted to know the truth. Because they were ready to do what they were convinced from the scriptures. They were ready to obey. They were ready to submit. That's why they were more noble, because they already had it in their mind that if God showed me something and it's in the scriptures, I'm going to believe it. God said it, that settles it. It's there, it's clear, I can see it, I'm convinced, I'm going to believe it. Lord, give me grace to follow you, that in that day I'll be blameless in every area. That's why they were noble Bereans, because they weren't there to search the scriptures to debate and fight and this and that. They were there to say and sincerely, Lord, I want to know truth. I want to search to submit, search to submit, search to submit. I want to do what I see in your word. I want you, dear God, to convince me. And when I'm convinced, I'm going to hold fast to that which is good. That's what God wants us to do. The truth is, every one of us won't have that disposition if we are not surrendered to God. Look at Romans chapter 12, 1 says, look at this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why? Why be surrendered? Why be willing to change and be transformed and not conformed to this world? Why be willing to present my body a living sacrifice and wanting to be acceptable, do things acceptable unto God? Why? Look at this. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A man of God said, as believers walking in the light of the truth, the knowledge of the Lord's will become clear. Will become clear. God will shed more light. As we walk in the light of the word and we trust and obey, God's word will begin. Listen, brethren, unfold, and you'll be more liberated. And God will give you grace to live out the Christian life. Beautiful thing. But you cannot have that disposition, brethren. Listen, if you haven't yet handed everything over to God and said, I surrender. I don't want to be conformed to this world. I want to be transformed. I want to be what you have purposed for me to be. And that's like Jesus Christ. This is the calling of God. And he actually says that faithful is he that calleth you, he will do it. What? That God works all things together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. Did I miss something there? God works all things together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. For he's predestinated them to be conformed. He's called them to be conformed into the image of his dear son. My brethren, we prove all things so we can be like Jesus. What a beautiful thing. And then he says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold up. Once you've proved it, it's clear. You've been convinced. God has made it real. Illuminated your heart and mind. Smited your heart. Hold to it. Hold fast. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Be faithful to what God has revealed to you, to what God has shown you. Hold fast. Don't lose it. The very thing that you've been convinced of, Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Paul encourages Timothy, continue. Look at this. 2 Timothy, look at this. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did he have of mentors? His grandmother and his mother. Who else? Paul comes, takes him under his wing. But listen what he says. Remember, it was the scriptures, Timothy, that made you wise unto salvation. Never forget where your assurance came from. Never forget who convinced you. God and his word convinced you. Oh, hold fast to that, he says. You've been assured by God. You've learned by him. Continue in the word of God. God's word. That's what he said to Timothy. And that's what I say to every disciple here. Continue in God's word. Not Charlie Haddad's word. Not Charlie Haddad's word. I don't have much to say. God's word. God's word. Continue in this book.